Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we're discussing social enterprise. I've been giving you various examples of different kinds of social enterprises domestically, globally, right from Bangladesh to Africa to India to the US to UK. I want to now touch a little bit more on the whole journey of an idea and the eventual implementation and success so that beneficiaries can benefit from it in a sustainable manner and it can create a positive change for the community as a whole. So idea is very good, but idea has to be something which has to be very well researched from all angles, whether it's funding, whether it is practicality, whether it is how to approach the community, whether it is technical elements, whether it is infrastructure elements. All of these things have to be put together so that your idea can eventually be a success. So when we are talking about idea, there's an interesting concept that I want to mention. A lot of people talk about something called donut economics. We know economics, traditional economics, but donut economics is something which is, you know, in a impacting your communities, impacting, you know, having a contagious effect, addressing the needs of your marginalized, you know, groups, making sure that your purpose is paramount over and above just profits, and your people and your planet are what are paramount. Now, ideas, idea is a thought which has to then, you know, be rolled out in a way so that it is helping. So, for example, you have, you know, this example from Montreal where this lady designed a nursing top, you know, which made her feel more comfortable while breastfeeding in public. Now, this is an idea. There are so many aspects related to an idea like this, which you have to keep in mind because obviously it is something which is also very, very intimate to women. And it's an intimate thing, which if being done publicly has to be sensitive to the person and also to everyone who is around, you know. But an idea like that thought out properly can be a success and help not just the envisioner, the one who thought about it for herself, but ideas can grow to help others as well. This is something which affects any woman who has ever given birth, right? So helping not just you, but also others across communities, countries, you know, boundaries. So, you know, when we look at Shark Tank, though, of course, not necessarily everything that comes to Shark Tank is a social enterprise. It could be regular commercial enterprises, but purely talking from an idea point of view, there are so many ideas which come out there. But you see how they are assessed from a point of view of, you know, can these be practically backed with the right resources and actions for the results to be optimal? So there are so many ideas which have created lasting social impact. For example, we're all familiar with, you know, the film star Aamir Khan, and he created the Pani Foundation. Now, the Pani Foundation is a collab between Aamir Khan, the, you know, creators of Satyamev Jayate and, you know, a few other entities. Now, he was extremely affected by or felt for empathetic towards the farmers in Maharashtra. And farmers being adversely affected because of droughts and crop failure. And then, you know, it's a vicious cycle where there's, you know, drought, there's crop failure, there are loans on these farmers, and then there are, you know, repayment pressures. And of course, across the country, we have heard of, you know, farmer suicides and all of those things. So he was extremely empathetic towards this, and he started working on addressing some of the issues, and he has ended up working with, you know, training 6,000 plus farmers across the state, and seen visible results in terms of farm productivity going up, your irrigation elements being addressed. So this is coming from someone who, if you see in terms of his own core profession, he's a film star. You know, does not have a farming background or legacy, but it is an idea which, you know, took root because of, you know, certain exposure he may have had, or something which appealed to him. So the idea was there, but they have been able to harness resources, collabs with other entities. Definitely this would have required some element of collab with state governments, with the local grassroots administrators, etc., in various forms, so that it can be an enabling, sustaining idea. So like this, you have so many ideas across the world which have been implemented in a manner that have brought success. So for example, you have, when I'm talking about ideas, you have in the COP20, in the various Davos meets, in the COP27 gatherings, in the COP15 gatherings, so many ideas come up as far as climate change are concerned. So much public interest is there. So many ideas, thoughts come in. But if we actually have to achieve those elements of, carbon neutrality, or, those targets which are decided for various countries, then these ideas, the plethora of ideas that would have been, coming up out there, so many of these need proper collaboration, proper strategy for them to actually be successes. So, when we see contests happening, for example, I'll be talking about, Tata Social Entrepreneurs Challenge, or various other contests which are there. They have so many entries, but why are there some ideas? All of them may be great ideas, but why are some ideas winning versus the others? Because there is an element of, these can be backed with proper action, resources, infrastructure, technology to be implemented and have been pitched and thought through as such by the entrepreneur, social entrepreneur behind those. So for example, in Thailand, there is this social entrepreneur, and she runs something called HomeNet. Now, there were these, she reached out to the this underprivileged segment of women working, who were largely working individually, taking scraps of material, surplus scraps, and creating various clothing items, fashion items through these scraps. Now, this they were doing this individually. They were not eventually selling to the market directly. There were middlemen in the picture, and obviously then the minute middlemen come into the picture, there is various kinds of exploitation commercially that ends up happening. So now when this lady decided to enter this space, she decided to collectively get these women together, eliminate the middlemen, create a platform where she is creating a better system of sourcing this fabric, and also a better system for point of sale. Also for, so it created employment opportunities for these marginalized communities who had mostly worked in, insecure, isolated ways. So not only was she creating employment and bringing these communities together, but also she was using natural dyes, plant-based dyes, dyes which were more conducive to keeping the planet healthy and reducing carbon footprint. So it's a joint purpose of people and planet. So all of this put together, she created this, she invested a lot in training, skill development for the women, flexible timing so that while they can work, they can also take care of their families. And basically getting them to participate in these communities so that awareness goes up, confidence goes up, morale boost goes up. And now this is an idea which was a great idea, but would have required so much action to back it, you know. Large part of the action in terms of, you know, testing these dyes, which works, which doesn't work, how to create these plant-based dyes, how to get these women to open up. There would be insecurities of, you know, letting go of their old comfort zone system of working with whoever, you know, middleman they were. But bottom line, net-net, it has created some sort of self-sufficiency and reliance for the women, and it's helping both the people and the planet. And it has brought in not just livelihood, but also skill development. Then this kind of community development and collab also then creates leaders, you know, because people learn. People who had largely worked individually learn to work in groups, get leadership opportunities. So it is adding to the whole community in the region. Now, once again, talking about elements of communication when it comes to ideas. Communication becomes extremely important in terms of getting people to buy in to your passion. Where is the unmet need? Where is the pain coming from? How that pain is not just affecting that individual, but affecting the larger community and the world, and the passion that you hold to do something about it. So, for example, the documentary An Inconvenient Truth, which basically followed Al Gore's journey, the former U.S. vice president, followed his journey, you know, to do something about climate change, you know, what is happening globally, to do something about it. It actually ended up winning the Oscar. So this identification of the pain points, you know, that you're not acknowledging it right now, but it's going to affect all of us. And this is my passion. I want the world to know. It not only won the Oscar, but it was commercially very successful. Very often documentaries are not aimed at commercial success because they're trying to more appeal to some sort of social consciousness. However, this documentary went on to become a massive commercial success and made a lot of sense as well. So ideas, the pain, the passion behind ideas needs to be communicated to the world, to stakeholders through various forums. So, of course, I'm talking about, the Oscars and a very, very large forum. But at a smaller level, you could have networking events, you could have exhibitions, you could have conferences, you could have various other platforms where social entrepreneurs could talk about their ideas, their action plans, their what goes behind, you know, their motivations to get more and more people to buy into this, you know, noble idea that they have. So it's important to analyze a lot of the things which are happening around you, whether in terms of the trends, whether in terms of the solutions which are emerging, what sort of tools, platforms, technology-wise. Today, technology has enabled so many things, especially the dynamic, massive shift we saw in technology post-pandemic, because even your, just look at a small GPay, how that exploded post-pandemic, because, you know, there was a need, and now it has, even from the smallest, like 10 rupee chai that you buy at the beachfront, you can pay for it through GPay to the chai vendor. So now it is not, technology is no longer a luxury of only the people with substantial disposable income. Now technology is reaching the absolute last bottom of pyramid consumer as well. The people with no disposable income, people below the poverty line, chances are that technologically connectivity has reached a very large segment of them. So leveraging this becomes very important, because now entrepreneurs and companies no longer have to second guess what the marginalized communities are thinking. They no longer have to go via 20 people to access them. Today, in the simple, you know, through an app, button, message, all of that, you can reach out to, communities can access information about you. So all of these have to be leveraged for ideas to become actionable. So looking at the commitment of larger corporations towards ideas, okay? Now, of course, smaller people have to do all of their viability tests, all of that, develop a basic prototype, test it, have pilot projects, then launch them. Even large, your large entities like Grameen Bank initially started with pilot projects in, you know, one single village, which was successful and then launched elsewhere. So, of course, all of that has to be done, but definitely support that comes in from larger organizations helps strong ideas a lot. So hence, all the more important that your idea is very well thought out and well pitched. You know, how do influencers, influencers these days, how do they grow and get the kind of collabs that they do? They know their numbers really well. They know their pitch really well. You know, they are very well studied about these things to be able to pitch themselves extremely, sharply. So, for example, SAP that we know, you know, SAP Limited, they have a very high commitment to social enterprise, to honoring social enterprise, climate towards the planet. All of these things, they have a very high commitment. And in fact, they have made a commitment of 5x5x2025, which is basically 5% of their spends on sourcing. They are going to deploy towards, sourcing from sustainable avenues, and which could open up as much as, you know, like $50 to $60 million annually going towards sourcing from sustainable avenues. Now, also, they have a lot of pro bono consulting programs for entrepreneurs. They have collabs with other organizations like Unilever. They have the Transform Hub, which I will be talking of. So when it comes to ideas, if you have a strong, actionable, good idea, then you can also appeal more effectively to these larger organizations to support you and to handhold you. That becomes very, very important. SAP, along with the Moving World is pioneering a green, inclusive society. So SAP, together with Moving World and with Unilever, started the Transform Hub. And this is a fantastic platform for professionals to come, lend their services in terms of hand-holding, in terms of providing their skills. Professionals join because noble projects across the globe are fostered here, whether they are pertaining to a green world, whether they are for creating cleaner water, drinking water, sanitation, women's issues, livelihoods, marginal communities. And to give you an idea of, the kind of buy-in that they have, even for these smaller ventures, is almost 1,500 professionals have lent their support to this platform. And they have projects almost 2,000 projects across more than 100 countries. And these projects put together would be actually unleashing pro bono, work of into billions of dollars. So you see one platform, a collaborative platform between larger organizations, but which has been communicated properly, which has been the people have been made aware of it, is managing to get so much buy-in. And this is not simply about, oh, we are SAP, we are Unilever, we will donate so much to charity. This is about creating a whole ecosystem where people are coming in with their professional expertise to help out. People are coming in for to help out projects across countries. So for example, you have Project Kasha. Now, in certain parts of Africa, very conservative parts of Africa, women are very shy about ordering feminine, buying feminine products. It can be embarrassing for them. It could be, you know, they may be feeling unsafe, insecure, etc. So there is a social enterprise called Kasha supported by this transform through this Transform Hub, which in a confidential manner manages to deliver, have these feminine products delivered to women in parts of Rwanda and Kenya. So you have so many ideas, so many unmet needs which are being helped by this whole ecosystem of professionals to investors to everyone. Now the projects are anything from water, sanitation, hygiene, providing livelihood to marginalized communities, and sourcing from sustainable sources, helping the planet, creating an environment where the planet is not being depleted. So much good is going on. And if you actually see in terms of how much monetary, if you try to put a monetary number to it in terms of how much is being sourced ethically, how much is being spent ethically, this goes into billions of dollars, if you put a monetary value on it. Also, a very important aspect of these larger corporations that is important and something that the smaller startups should aspire to and should learn from is monitoring and reporting. So when I'm mentioning all of these things to you, and when stakeholders behind Transform Hub and your SAP, Unilever, Moving Worlds, etc., when they would be sharing data, this is monitored, verified data so that people can understand, okay, I lent my professional help to this. Did I make a measurable difference? That feedback really endorses my commitment and also influences others to participate in the story. So, of course, in social enterprise, a lot of times, because profit is not the only consideration, sales are not the only consideration, measurement often becomes a little gray, a bit of a gray area. Measurement often becomes a little dicey. However, this measurement should, wherever possible, be undertaken so that the beneficiaries, both the beneficiaries and the stakeholders, can see the viability of this whole endeavor which is being undertaken, which helps the sustainability, which helps the scalability. Now, if I'm rolling out a social enterprise in a certain district, it's a success, and I want to roll it out in more districts, or if I want to take it from one state to another state, as we will be seeing a lot of examples in India across various chapters where successful models have been, undertaken in other states after they were successful in certain states. So, for example, this social enterprise for children to wash their hands so that they fall sick less for marginalized children. This whole thing about, social enterprise, which initially was piloted in schools in certain parts of Assam, there was the whole vision. Eventually, with success, it is being implemented and considered in other states as well. So if I want that kind of scalability, I'm only going to get that if I'm able to show the viability of my idea from my pilot projects, from my prototypes, from the measurability. I have that. If I can show that, then the trust element becomes very, very large, because here element of trust is a very large part of why people will choose to contribute to your idea or not.